Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, B-Fan Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, thank you for giving me your time. Today I'm here with
Colin Mobley
and
Jermaine Odiawara.
Okay, so Colin goes first. Difference. So Colin, give us a rundown who you are, where you from, what you do, just some small things.
All right, well, first and foremost, my name is Colin. I'm a senior here at USC. From Washington, D.C., Southeast to be exact, former football player. Studying real estate development, do photography on the side.
Yeah.
Want to go ahead and shout out my page, Frozen Moments. So if you haven't gotten frozen, what are you doing?
So, go give that a follow.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jermaine, you next, man. Tell us your name, where you from, who you are, just some small things, what you like to do.
Man, my name is Jermaine Odiawara. Thank you for having me. Rancho Cucamonga's finest. Sophomore studying business administration, like a certain Austin Enix, you know what it is. Yeah. Got my own small business. We currently working through some things, but Odiawara Fragrances, just
go,
tap in. Just
go
be
get
ready.
It.
No, I do smell really
go
good.
Go get it.
I wish I could put
get
the
your popcorn ready.
Through the microphone.
There'll be something going on.
Spring but, catalog on the way.
Man, no, what? For real. Get it together. Spring. And, you know, we might as well just touch on the topic of, you know, small businesses. So, whoever wants to go first, I'll take Colin. How did you get started in photography? What inspired you? And what keeps you going today, besides getting paid?
Man, I don't even really think it's like money is cool. I don't think it's really about the money. So for me, it really started from my grandmother. Like, I have a big family. It's me, my sister, and I have two cousins. We traveled a lot when we were younger.
Yeah.
My grandmother was always like, hold on. I have to take a picture. You know, grandmas and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and then I remember there was a time when I would like take her cameras and take the pictures and stuff. And that was cool, you know. Then fast forward into my sophomore year in high school,
mm-hmm.
I needed to take a class. You know, there were a couple of elective classes. I decided to do darkroom basics. I heard it was an easy class.
Mm.
Immediately loved it. Like, I went in the little darkroom. It was cool. I was like, man, I feel like this is some stuff on the movie.
Yeah.
It was good, you know. Got I'll never forget. His name is Mr. Potts. He was like a 70-year-old man. He taught at my high school for many years. Shout out to DeMatha, by the way.
Yeah.
He gave me his 1974 Nikon SLR camera. So we had a homework assignment, and then we went to the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I shot this cat. It is black and white. It's black and white too. So, and I was like, damn, like I'm. Like, I can curse on here. Like,
yeah, you can.
I was like, damn. I was like, I'm gifted for real. Like, I have an eye for it, you know? And then that was that. I just was taking pictures then. And then next year, I took a digital photography class. And then it kind of stopped a little bit, slowed down. I would still take pictures on my phone and stuff like that. But, like, as far as, like, an actual camera slowed down, I started taking football a lot more seriously.
Yeah.
And then I stopped playing my sophomore year in college. So mm-hmm. I went from being a D1 athlete to having all the time in the world. I was like, nah. I said, I have to do something with my time, bro. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to lie, bro. I had like what? It was a time I had like, what, $50 in my name. I bought a point-and-shoot camera. 4th of July, my friend sent me over like, yo, bro, we're going to this yacht 4th of July. So I'm like,
what?
I'm like, there's no better time
to have a camera
than to do it on a yacht. Man, I still had a roll of film that I had from the high school class.
Yeah.
I had that, and I bought like two other rolls of film. Shout out to my brother actually put me onto the point and shoot camera. Shout out to VZ Vision.
man.
Bro, and went on the yacht, and then haven't looked back since. I had like a had a spam account, bro.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, bro, I got to do something with this photography stuff. Yeah. Like, I was like, I have to keep myself busy, bro. I have way too much time on my hands.
Man, that life after being a student athlete, bro. You sort of notice how much, not time you wasted, but time you put in. Because it's like,
man,
you get done. And I think that's why, like, a lot of athletes probably, like, get in trouble when they stop playing sports. Because mm-hmm. they don't know what to do with all this time. They so used to being in the gym or like on the field that when they get this freedom, it's like, yo, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, bro. I told myself, I said, nah, I got to do something. It's the summer. I was like, I'm just sitting here, bro. Like,
yeah. And that's how it kind of was coming into USC and then with this podcast and stuff. I got out here and I was like, dang, bro. I want to walk onto the football team, but I don't really know if I'm willing to. Football got to be your life when you're in college. Like,
yeah.
There's no way around it. Yeah, you can try to balance it with school, this, this, and that, but like, it essentially becomes your life, especially if it's important to you and then you take it serious. Some guys might not take it serious as the other guys, but like when you a real winner, you want to put all the work that you can into your craft. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm willing to do that again, especially I'm not trying to go to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like, so it would be cool to go to school, play sports and stuff, but how can I utilize my other talents? And so when I got here, I'm like, damn, I'm going to need something to come in with.
Yeah.
So I started the podcast like a couple weeks before we were supposed to move in. And when I got here, I just got straight to it, figuring out who to interview, how to interview them, and just use the natural talking skills that I had to talk myself into getting this room that we got. So that was a really good experience. And then from there, the cameras, I really liked movies growing up. So, like, yeah. My connection to, like, film and cameras and stuff really came from just movies growing up. And I would watch movie after movie after movie. Especially, we ain't had no cable. At
That's
my mama
all you
house.
Had. Hey, That's all you had. Man, go to Walmart, get the little DVD. That's
you know
all
what
you
I'm
had.
Saying, man. Gotta go to Blockbuster, man.
No, hey, what y'all know about the dude standing on the corner at Family Dollar with the burn on?
With the bootlegs, everything.
Yeah.
Came out last week. Got you right now.
The CD man. The CD man.
Man, the CD baby. Hey, I got everything. What you need? You have it. And my mom would just buy some of the film sometimes. And I remember her just be like, you know what you got? It'd be like a hot summer day. We buy it. Take it home and watch it, man. I would stay up hours after hours. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, watch a movie. I'd stay up super late, watch a movie. Wake up in the morning, watch one. And so I think that developed how I started to see the world. Because subconsciously, you start to get the feel for it. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's like almost watching a lot of sports. Especially if you watch sports and then go play your sport, you're going to do better than the guy that just trained. Because you, like, getting the mental image of it, too. Like, you can see yourself doing these moves using your imagination and stuff. So I feel like that's how I kind of got some of the natural, like, raw skills that I have and use today. And I didn't really take notice of them. I used to take a lot of pictures, and people would be like, bro, your picture's tough. I'd be like, thanks. And then I'd just keep going about my day. Yeah. And so I used to always see the night vision on cameras or, like, rappers' videos. Bro. I'm like, bro. The things I would do for that camera.
Or the little haunted house. When you,
man, you know
that's
what I'm
so player.
So I'm like, damn, I got to get my hands on that camera. And I knew the only way it was going to happen is if I start. So at the end of last year, I was supposed to go to Spain. And for some reason, I was just into VHS, VHS, VHS. And my dad gave me the VHS camera that I had when I was little, or the one that he used to use when I was little. And I took that with me to Spain, recorded that, was learning how to use the HDV tapes, get it off, things of that nature. And then when I got back to USC in the fall, I was at the Rose Bowl flea market. And I had already bought like $100 to $200 worth of stuff. I'm like, man, I'm done spending money. I can't spend no more money. I'm walking out, and I see the camera, and I'm like, yo.
It's an investment though.
Oh my god, I walk over, he like, yeah, I just bought a new battery for it, everything pristine condition. I'm like, all right, need that. So I was like, how much you want? He was like, 150. I'm like, that's not crazy, can you do 125? He was like, no, I'll do it 150. So I'm like, all right, bet. And I bought it right then and there, not knowing how I'm going to use it yet. I sent a picture to you like right after
I bought it.
I'm like,
bro,
look at this shit. And yeah, so I bought it and just got to using it. And the rest is history. I made the first class films. That was so fun to get that page going. And
shout out to first class films.
Shout out first class films. Go follow that.
And just go to events and make the most of them. And I'm still learning how to do like different events. I want to do like weddings and stuff like eventually. Like that would be tough. Like
Malik.
A different. Yo, I'm not going to lie.
Low key.
Hey, man.
Hey, we might have to hit him up whenever the wedding is, bro. I would fly to a wedding or get flown out to a wedding to do a recap because they don't make them like that anymore.
They don't, bro.
They trying to do all these drone shots and shit, man. I want to do
the
like,
real authentic shit.
Yeah, you know.
We need frozen moments and first cast films collab.
I need to be in the bridal room with the brides and the bridesmaids hearing all the gossip. Like, I want to hear that. Like, that's the stuff
that's
that they want to see. You know what I'm saying? And I want to go to the bachelor party. I want to
They don't
want to
see no formal stuff. They want to see.
Like, the nitty. Yeah. Like, I want to remember getting married, not just seeing it. You know what I'm saying?
It's 8 p.m. All the kids got to go home.
got to go.
Turn, boy. So it's, and be able to see, like, all the different venues and stuff. And then keep traveling out the country and getting that type of footage to, you know, make it retro again. Because it's cool to have, like, I really love the HD cameras. And I would love to get into, like, the higher definition soon enough. And start working with, like, cinematography skills for real, for real. Mm-hmm. Like, we using Premiere Pro and doing all that color grading jazz. And so, yeah. And now on to Jermaine, the fragrance man.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Tell us about your business, what it means to you, and, you know, how it came about.
The goods.
You know, you got a really good story. I feel like you told it before, but we got new listeners now, so you got to tell it again.
Hey, it's a story I love to tell. Let's do it. But, no, the business actually started off with a compliment, same way you were talking about, oh, yeah, people said, oh, yeah, your picture's tough. Mine was just like, oh, you smell good. I'm like, shoot. I didn't want to smell bad. Like, you know what I'm saying? That was the goal, but I'm just glad I got the compliment. I was in high school. This is low-key what I wrote my USC application about, so funny how things work. I was just like, what could I write about? What could I even do? Because I want to do business, but I'm just like, what does that look like? Like, my mom got her own business. She got her own daycare. But when people think business, they think more so, like, big business, multimillionaire. I'm like, she ain't no multimillionaire, but my mom make money that
you
daycare.
Paid,
watching
you know?
Kids gets you paid. I'm like, she doing good? I'm like, I just want to find my own little thing. Yeah. And then, so my family's from Mali, country in West Africa, and my uncle has a fragrance factory out there. So he would always send me them, but, you know, I was a little kid, so I'm like, I don't know how to put all this on. I'll just be rubbing it all over, staining on my clothes. My mom, she revoked the privileges. She said, give me that. Said, you can't be wearing that. And then once I'm older, I'm like, he sends some. I'm like, oh, could I start using them? She's like, yeah, you old enough. Like, yes. I leveled up. Yes. So then I start wearing it. I just get compliments. I'm a TA. And then some of these youngins talking about, oh, you smell good. I'm like, all right, young bull, go do your work. You ain't getting that A. I'm giving you that C+ you earned now. And then, like, the next day, same people. Oh, no, you smell good. What are you wearing? I'm like, I do smell good.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
They keep action.
Now, the third day, you know, I'm a big believer in threes. All good things happen three times.
You on the third mic.
If you know, you know. What? It's right.
Shout
out to Mike 3. But third day, same people come in saying, oh, you smell good. I'm like, okay, how can I make money out of this? I'm not going to lie. I was like, I was already working in high school, so I had money saved up and everything like that. But more money ain't ever hurt. Shoot. No.
Yeah.
Let's stack it up. So I just talked with my mom. I was like, hey, what would it be if I got some of this stuff shipped out here? She was like, why? I said, people are interested. She's like, really? And I was like, yeah.
But she said, like, she's surprised.
She was just, like, surprised because this is, like, not the first time I've shown initiative in something like that, but this is the first time I thought of doing something, like, on such a big scale to, like, get the products from Africa and then start actually worrying about getting my own other supplies for the business. So I was like, would you help me? And she's like, yeah. So, like, a few weeks later, the products get here. That same day, we end up driving down to downtown. We're in San Pedro just buying all the bottles, the rollers. And that was, like, all of Sunday. I was literally testing out different bottles, seeing what would be good, what would be different. Because normally they come in, like, really small.
Yeah, they don't last long.
In many cases, that don't last long, even though they're more affordable and pocket size. But I thought, how could I maximize getting a good size that everyone would like, but something that you could also travel with? Because that was a big thing with those. So then I came, the ones that I normally sell, they 30 milliliters, which is a decent size enough for you to travel with, where they won't, like, take it out and dump it, even though it's a liquid, but it's also good enough to cover with you. So shoot,
man,
boy,
y'all know about
that.
I didn't have a
TSA dump my cologne before.
For real? Oh no,
no, bro, where was I going? I think I was traveling somewhere by myself or something. It might have been moving out here, and I had to. No, I wasn't moving out here. I was going somewhere. I had some Chanel cologne, I think it was, and I was like, my dad was like, "Hey, they gonna make you dump it up." I'm like, man, I'm about to put this whole bottle on right here then. You know
watch
what I'm saying?
This, bet.
Bro, I was about to get out of the crowd.
It's gonna last me. I'm gonna get my money's worth.
Everybody gonna smell this, and I sat it in the back of the car because I couldn't take it with me. And yeah, that was funny, bro.
But that's one of those things. It's like they stopping you, but you gotta smell good everywhere. You can't just smell good in,
yeah, man.
In Detroit. You can't just smell good in DC. I can't just smell good in Rancho. I gotta smell good for the world
wherever you go.
So even just like looking for the right bottles and stuff, that's something like as I was doing, I'm like, I'm getting excited over a damn bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this shit kind of fun.
Yeah.
But I'm like, obviously, I still, the main goal was just to, like, make money, see who I could get it from. So then I get home. We get home super late. I'm literally up till maybe, like, 3 a.m. filling out all these bottles. I'm emailing teachers. I was emailing teachers over the whole weekend because I really have a lot to do senior year. So I would just, like, go into different classes. So I talked to all my old teachers, be like, hey, could I come speak for a little while? But you know me, I'm a character. So they're like, what you got to speak about? I said, no surprise, but this is some good, trust me. And then they let me. So then I had went to these different classrooms. Shout out Mr. Ware, my avid teacher. Big ups to him. He was actually my biggest customer, my first customer.
That's tough.
I went with me and one of my friends, Samad. That's my guy. We went to the class. We were like, hey, how y'all doing? Gave the little spiel. I'm like, hey, y'all want to smell the product? They're like, oh, you actually have it? Fuck, do I look like not having it? What? Yes.
All right, bullshit.
Yes, this is the same backpack it was held in. This backpack right here. Bro, I had
legendary backpack.
Legendary backpack. This is the classic right here. Just memories. But
yeah,
I just, at that time, it was only 3 cents that I had had. Or, well, there were more, but they weren't ready for that. The people didn't have enough XP to get the rest of the cents.
Yeah,
we had
yeah.
to just the test basics. Out with three.
Yeah.
But I'm showing it to the class. I'm like, oh, this is really good. Like, this is good. Would you sell this one? I'm like, that's the sample, but I got more at the crib. I'm like, yeah, how much you want? And they're like, oh, well, I'll just take this bottle. I'm like, okay, that's cool. One bottle is one more than I sold the next day.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, okay, that's cool. So they buy that, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, this is really working. So I started carrying more and more with me, and I started going from classroom to classroom to the point where I would start pitching people at lunch. I would pitch the security guard, the principal, the teachers, the cops, the janitors, shoes.
Bro ran Etowanda. It's not a small school.
It's not a small school.
Like lunch lunch?
Man,
lunch
I would literally be in the parking lot. I see people, parents dropping off the kid. Hey, you want to smell this? Like,
that's crazy.
Like, literally.
It
and
worked,
I was like,
though.
It worked. And I wasn't, the biggest thing I would say, you just can't be scared about it. It's like, if you got a product that people want, they're going to buy it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to tell a story. And then that story is like, no one's ever heard of African-based fragrances, someone selling that to them in their fourth period biology class. Like, that don't happen.
For real.
So that was just like the big thing for me. And then I was just glad, even though obviously I'm talking about like making money and just doing all that, I was just more, it's something about selling something that you put your heart into. Mm, and then it's like,
exactly.
Damn.
So, like, passions.
I said, they really got, my story really touched you enough to want to buy this. So then.
Makes you feel appreciated a little bit.
Man.
Yeah.
Like, the world need more
dopamine
Jermaine
boost. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
Or like, hey, can you come record this party? Like, yeah, I can record this party. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, once you get one, it's like a domino effect. It
keeps
rolling.
Boom, 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 boom. And then being able to do stuff on the fly is, like, really important to me because, like, that event I did last week, it was this African diaspora event for Dr. A. I don't want to butcher her name right now. I really need to learn how to say it. It's Dr. Rame. I cannot say her last name. But
spell
it out. I can't. So she is really cool. She asked me like after our class, because I got a discussion with her and it's 50 minutes. She was like, wait, I should have asked you. Can you come record this tonight? I'm like, all right. So I only got an hour worth. I only got an hour to go. And because I got class at the same time, like around when the event running. So I'm like, all right, bet. I grab my cameras, I charge them up, and I come that night. And I'm just like, damn, I really have no idea what I'm going to do. But I'm going to need something. So I just start recording. And I got like the intros. I got everybody intro them, like introducing their black organization and things like that. And then just building a mental image of what I want to see before I record it. It's like, I think, ain't that a process? Like, they got to do, like, the storyboard before you can actually record it?
Yeah.
I'm doing that in my brain, like, as I record. And I feel like if I get more organized, I could be even better. But at this point, I'm just like, all right, I don't know what I'm going to do. Sometimes I just pull up, like, damn.
It's the art of it, though, man.
That's the more fun part because it feel more authentic. Like, it feel like my work.
Yeah.
It's something you can't really replicate. And, like, even with show pictures, they just got, like, they got this homey feel. It's just, like, you could just, I feel like I was there, you know what I'm saying? The color grade, and that's just the camera, right? You don't even do
just
that.
No. I don't even edit my pictures, photo, nothing. Photoshop,
yeah, bro, nothing. Keep it raw.
You
and
just
that's,
do what feels right.
Yeah, and that's
yeah. Honestly why I like film and VHS, because it's like, it takes you back to the basics. Like, people, I tip my hat to people that do digital photography and videography, like, but it's like, taking your time, learning the basics, like, people don't want to do the hard stuff.
Man.
And it's like, it's no reshoots. Like, you get what you get, and you can't see it till you get it back. No. So it's like, there's no room for error. But in a sense, like, with that, like, you can't be, in a sense, try to be perfect.
Right.
Like, you have to find a beauty even in the mess-ups. One thing that has always stood out to me is my second grade art teacher, I think his name was Mr. Torres. It's funny, Mr. Torres. he was like, in art you can never mess up. You can only just make tweaks to what you don't like.
Man, that's real.
So like, I had to learn that early when I first started shooting, like, in the summer of 2023. I remember I talked to my brother a lot, because my brother also shoots film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, these pictures, they're blurry, man. I don't like it. It's not centered. It's not focused. Like, he's like, nah, man. He'd be like, bro, that's fire. I'd be like, nah, man. I'm just like, nah. And I'm just like, but then I look at it more and then I really, like, think about it. And I'm like, maybe that picture wasn't meant to be focused. Maybe that picture wasn't meant to be, like, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, just learning to, in a sense, like, try not to force things, in a sense, like, just flow. Go with the flow.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I've been trying to do now. Like, starting so basic, like you were saying, like, with the VHS, like, you start from this little camera, you know what I'm saying? You kind of build up. You get, like, a bigger one, and you get the Sony, which is, like, kind of a better definition that people really like. And then I moved up to the XL1, which is, like, this way bigger than I anticipated.
Man.
But it's still an interesting camera, but it's, like, so basic. And it's, like, you slowly just find your way up the scale, up the ladder, like you were saying. And eventually, I might end up in cinematography using the digital cameras and stuff like that. But at least I got this background history to me, and I'm more diverse than a person who just started with, you know, just with digital media.
Mm.
You can get really talented with that. You can really get really good with that stuff. But I feel like I separate myself by having this background in the dinosaur ages of film, you know what I'm saying? Like the OG film. And like you were saying, you don't really need to edit that type of stuff. I don't have to color grade. It seemed like all that stuff was done within the camera somehow.
Mm.
And when it comes out, it just comes out. Like, I don't have to adjust. I don't have to adjust any lighting. I use what I have right then and there. Like, if the light in the room bad, I'm going to try to turn this flashlight on. If it don't work, some going to work out.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? And just being able, like you were saying, improvise on the spot, come up with stuff on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling of it just being one and done, it's like, it's scary, but it's also freeing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're in post-production and you like, damn, that's all I got. Let me see how I can make this work. So with the Nokia video, with that party, I was trying to figure out how to maximize the amount of clips I had, because I didn't have that many. Like, a lot of them was, like, kind of repeating. And when you do these parties, the audience is, like, really depending on what you're going to get. If your audience dead gang, the video got a dead gang, but try to make it work. So I'm like, all right, how can I utilize the beat of the song? I know I wanted to use the first minute of the song. And I really like doing, like minute length videos, because if I can capture your attention for like a minute
in today's society,
got you.
Bro, I'm up. I know my video is good. I could give you like a 10 second recap, 15 second. That would be cool, but like, nah, I want to show, like, I want you to feel like you should have been there, or that you, damn, I'm gonna go to the next one for sure.
Man.
And so I was utilizing like the playback feature. It was like, who's calling my, who's calling my, like, it was going up and forth, back and forth, and I'm like, boom, boom. Yeah, that was really fun doing that. And just, like I was saying on the phone earlier, like, just figuring it out right then and there, like, post-production, like, all right, this is what I got. This is what I'm going to make. And it feel like I'm painting a picture right there. I can't go back and get nothing else. I got to go back to the camera, see what I missed, and just right there,
making the best out of what you got, man.
Yeah.
A moment to a film. to a production.
Hey, man.
What about you, Jermaine? When do you feel like you've had to, you know, improvise, especially with, like, your fragrances and stuff? Because when I see you always ready, I don't know.
Man, I got some right here. What? Stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. Yeah. But it's just like, there's no opportunity like now. So it's just like, if someone wants to buy, like, I'm actually in one of my business classes, our midterm is to make a presentation and a 5-minute slideshow on a product we could sell. Like, it needs to be a physical product. So everyone in my class thinking about, what they going to do? I'm like, no, I already know what I'm going to do. Shit.
It's my everyday life.
I actually just got to make it structured, which would only help me, because every time I've went and tried to market it, I've never done anything in a real structured way. It's just been like, I know how to talk to people. This is a product I could sell.
Yeah.
I could sell stuff.
And you got to adjust your pitch to the person.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. Bro, you remember we was pitching to the dudes that worked for the Eagles?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'll never forget that.
That was so weird.
We were in the village, and then we were just walking around, and then he's like, hey, are they? I'm like, what you talking about? He's like, look what they wearing. I said, Philadelphia? What? I said, shit. I said, hey, should we go over there? He's like, shit, we should. I'm like, that's the Eagles, though. He's like, you're right. We start walking over there anyway. We don't care.
We're like, hey, they eating. All right, whatever.
Let's wait till they done eating.
Yeah, we tried to circle around, come back and forth, but yeah, man, it's so fun, like, utilizing those interactions that you get with people as well. Like the random compliments are like, okay, it's different interactions between, like, you coming up and, like, pitching your idea, and then, like, the random compliments that you get on your work, and you wasn't even expecting it. People like, yeah, I really like that. Bro, I remember, where was I at? I was at a party, and this was last semester, no, like, 2 semesters ago, like, a freshman year, and what happened? It was, like, the first party I went to and the last party I went to a spring semester, and, like, everybody turned up and stuff, and then this girl was like, hey, I really like your podcast.
Huh?
I was like, what the fuck?
Me?
I'm at the party geeked. I'm like, hey, what?
Man.
Like, my podcast? Like, you man. Listen to it?
She
like,
says you like my podcast.
She like my podcast.
Yeah. She came to the function to tell him that. She seen him from a mile away, walked over and said, yeah.
I really like your podcast. And for somebody to say that in a setting like that with all the commotion going on, it's like, damn, that really means something to me. That means I'm doing something. So let me keep going with it.
Yeah,
or like,
man.
Yeah. Or like the videos, and people be like, yo, I really like that video, bro. Like, I keep watching it and watching. It's like, yeah.
Man, there was actually funny story. This was this past weekend, man. I was at a birthday party. I was just chopping it up with one of my friends, Yannick.
Oh, yeah, I know Yannick.
And he was
Yannick,
my guy.
Yannick,
he told
go,
me.
Bro.
Shout out to Yannick, bro.
Yannick, man.
I feel like a lot of people.
Yannick like, flicks.
Yeah,
he actually takes
Yannick
photos
flicks.
Too.
Yeah.
I feel like, even especially with men, like, men don't really, you know, say, like, he was like, bruh, I ain't scared to say it. Like, you inspire me with this stuff. Like, and I'm like, bruh, I feel like I'm still starting, man. Like, and he was like, nah, bruh. Like, and I was like, bruh, you've been on your shit, bruh. Like, keep going for sure. And
for real.
It made me want to keep going. Made me want to go harder. And I was like, man.
It's mutual.
People are paying attention, man. So man. I'm like, I was like, I really appreciated that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's just, it's not that we looking for some sort of validation, like, somebody needs to approve this work. Like, I'm gonna love it regardless, but it just give you like an extra hit when other people notice it and see it. And especially people that you don't really know.
Yeah.
Like, if you can get a compliment out of a stranger, it's like, yo, that gotta be
It's gotta be real.
Oh, man.
It's people. Man, 2023 was a year. People were like, you're frozen moments. You're frozen moments. And I'd be like,
that's him.
Can I get frozen? Can I get frozen? And I'm just like, hey, man.
Let's do it. And I've been posting YouTube videos. A lot of the stuff that I build, I like it to be organic. So I don't sending it to all of my friends and stuff. Like, I might send it to a group chat if I really like it, or I might just put it on my story. But other times, I just like to do stuff without people looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be on YouTube, like, just posting random videos. And sometimes a video will do really good, and, like, I get strangers to comment. And one guy was like, yo, your videos, like, really remind me of this guy that was, like some years ago, kind of doing, like, the same sort of format. Yours is, like, really distinct. Keep going with it. You should watch it if you don't know who he is. And I went to go watch the videos that he was talking about, and it really was, like, the content I be doing.
Really?
Like, the guy had, like, he just had the VHS camera going like this. All of his friends in it. Everything improvised. Nothing set up. He just going about his day. And it wasn't like vlogging in the sense to, they make vlogging so corny now. But it wasn't vlogging in the sense to, this is me waking up. This is doing this. He turned the cameras on. Yeah, we're going to a club. It was a gay guy. He was like, we're going to the club. These are all my friends. And you seeing all these like distinct people in the city of New York. And I was like, I was just going and going and like watching more and more of his stuff. And it was me going to go see what the guy was talking about really inspired me more when I saw the guy he was comparing me to, because he did really good work.
Yeah.
And, the guy who he referred me to, he died early, but like I looked him up on like Wikipedia and was like reading his life story, and he was like a really cool guy, like working with cameras and stuff. So yeah, just getting them compliments out of strangers really pushed me forward sometimes.
That's how it be for real. Like obviously it's similar, but it's also kind of different. Like you could directly get told that you smell good, but people would also think that and not say it. So it's just good to hear you say it, because I'm like, shit, I'm not walking out the house smelling crazy. I know I smell good, but like
every time you walk out the, hey, bro.
Hey, man. Hey, I was just at the art show. Someone's like, oh, you smell good. What are you wearing?
Diawara.
Go get it. Man.
I said, man. It's like, honestly, back in high school, it got to a point like I got those compliments, and it was like, this was like the thing that stuck out to me the most, even though it was like 2 years ago. I got complimented by like a random girl who I'd walk by, oh, you smell good. And then some other girl walked by, you don't know, that's his stuff. I said, shit, you know that's my stuff. People, I know that's my stuff. People, we know that's my stuff.
Oh, man, people doing the marketing for you is like the best. They'd be like, no, get him. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then like finding ways to utilize certain platforms to put yourself out there. So me, my stuff is good, but I don't have, people don't know me yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm still fresh to the scene. Portfolio getting done. So I hit up that pajama party I recorded. It ended up being like my best video, like in terms of views and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I DM'd him and was like, yo, y'all need a cameraman, this and that. He was like, nah, we already got cameramans and stuff. Thank you though. And I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna pull up anyway and do this. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna do the video anyway. So I pull up, do the video, like no charge or whatever. Like, and I came through, did the video, made it, and it ended up going crazy. And so they got another party in a couple weeks. And I think they're going to, I might be able to get with him. I DM'd him again. He was like, yeah, just DM the party page or whatever.
That would be the smart move, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Hey,
that would be the smart move.
Utilize it, bro, because I ain't going to keep doing work for free, nigga.
You're going to have to pay up.
Yesterday's price is not today's price, bro. No.
Oh, man. And it's important when you figure out how to price your work.
Man.
Like, giving it the value that it deserves, it's like, it's rewarding for sure.
People don't talk about how hard that is, though.
Yeah, because you do.
Am I taxing? Like,
these my guys, bro. Yeah, man. Like, is they gonna pay for it? Is it even worth that much? When I look at it, I could do it for free. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I could go make hella videos for free, but it's like, now I'm putting my time to this, my effort into this.
Yeah, bro.
And if I want to keep doing it and invest in it, I can't be no angel investor in my own business. I gotta get some out of it so I can replenish what I'm doing. So yeah. So how did you go about like trying to price your work and things of that nature?
It's crazy because I feel like I was in a very interesting spot. I wanted to get my work out there, so I was doing a lot of free shoots for a long time,
bro.
I'll just be going anywhere, pulling up with my camera, just you know,
boom, boom, boom.
And then I was like, all right, shit, I need money. I'm finna start somewhere and see where people. Check temperatures, you know, see where everybody's at, you know?
Yeah.
Started off at a certain price. I'm like, okay, this is cool. But then people don't know, with film photography, you spending money.
Yeah, for sure.
Same way you making money, you spending it. Mm-hmm. You got to pay to get the film. You got to get the film developed.
Get it developed, yeah.
Like, that's $40. That's $40 right there. God forbid, hey, if you got two rolls, that's 80. That's
100 bar right there.
Yeah, it's never 100.
You got to make a profit.
So I'm like, man, I can't just be pocketing this amount. Like, I got to, like, slowly, you know, just up the prices, you know.
Nothing obvious.
Now I'm like, man, my work speaks for itself. Like, I can't, this is something I had a conversation with somebody about this. I'm like, what's your prices? It's like, you can't fish for prices. Like, if somebody's not messing with your price, like, somebody appreciate your work.
Yeah.
Like, you pay what you get for. Like, man. Hey.
Yeah, this, my boy Jaren Savage just was on here. You ever see the dude with the suit?
Yeah, that's Unk.
You ever see the dude walking around with the suit?
Yeah.
Nigga, his, like, that's how astonished I am.
That's real.
Bro, suits is like
30 bands.
Yeah. About like $30,000, 10 to 30,000. He got $800 cufflinks, but like he was telling me yeah, people might think the price is crazy, but it's people out here that buy
that will buy it.
And he was telling me that he travels back and forth to Milan, Italy to work with the people making factory, the suits. Yeah. They handmade. He's a part of every process. They hand paint it. He using the most rarest type of silks that you can get. The cufflinks
had a great marketer right
was made out of the damn volcanic rock. He showed me a cufflink made out of volcanic rock. I'm like,
that's crazy, bro. Man, like, I've been here for 4 years and I never seen bro without a suit. He be on it, bro.
He got a new one. I haven't seen a repeat.
Flash it too.
I've been seeing him it, bro.
Y'all don't know about him and them flamingos though.
Hey, Jaren Savage.
That
I'm gonna have to keep in contact with him.
Nah, for real, bro.
Might need a suit for something. You know?
Yeah. Shit.
And he a really cool guy, and so that just go to show like people gonna mess with the work and never worry about people not liking the work, because I was watching this video the other day and the guy was like, don't worry about like the small tweaks or mistakes that you make when doing whatever, because you think people won't like it or you think it's a blemish in it, because if they see that small mistake and don't like it, they didn't like it from the jump, and they was looking for a reason.
It was nitpicking.
Yeah, they was looking for a reason not to like it. And we all go through the same thing in terms of things we like. What's a movie I like? Like Napoleon Dynamite or like Spaceballs is a really good movie. To where it's like you can tell like little small tweaks where you might see the microphone coming to the camera, or he might have stuttered, or the same scene played twice or something crazy. I'll look right over that because I love the movie so much. And so when people are really engulfed in what you're doing and they really appreciate the work that you're putting out, none of whatever you mess up on is going to be spotted by them. We are our own worst critics when it comes to that stuff. And me, I find myself being a perfectionist sometimes in terms of like trying to get it directly on the beat. And then just for Instagram to put in a delay anyway, it sucks. But it's for me to put that much attention to detail, but at the same time be able to get off my own case and say, you know what? Sometimes good enough is good enough. And if you're the artist, your definition of good enough might be damn near perfect to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So you mean like, all right, it's cool. I just got to put it out there. And then people will be like, yo, this is amazing.
You're our own more. Work, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, I'd have had, because I remember I did the teaser for the reveal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, this is trash, bro. And people were like, bro, that video was fire. I'm like,
shit.
I'm like, really?
What?
Let me rewatch this and make sure we're watching the same thing.
Man.
And you watch it, you just like, shit, I guess they fuck with it more than me. Yeah. But that's just how it be.
Yeah,
and
man.
Yeah, and dang. Who was what's his name? The guy that do, Eric Thomas. Mm. You know Eric Thomas?
The name sounds familiar.
The motivational speaker. If you look him up, Eric Thomas, so. Where did I meet Eric Thomas at? He was in Detroit for an event. And, my uncle, football camp. He came to the football camp, sound mind, sound body. He was speaking at the event and stuff. And was I even playing football? I don't know. I think it was, like, right before, like, my first season, like, of my junior year. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have no film to show coaches, but I knew I was good. But I was just going around talking anyway. I ended up getting his number. Something that stood out the most to me in his speech was like, when it come down to like appreciate the compliments and stuff, but don't get too like involved in worrying about what people think. And so you got to treat everything at the same level. Like, this is my greatest video. Okay. This is my worst video. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So being able to be humble and content with what you got and understand your own worth. I forgot how he was putting it. But he was like, you can't listen to no haters, man. You know how he be talking about, You can't listen to nobody.
Yeah.
They wasn't up when you was up.
I remember this podcast with Nick Saban.
Nick Saban,
and
man.
He was talking about like how like, cause you know it's Alabama, man. Like,
Bama.
Fans yeah. crazy. They hate you, then they love you. So it's like, he was like, why do you care what people on Twitter say? Why? Like, these people are probably in the mom's basement on the couch. Like, why do you care?
Yeah.
They don't put the time in you do. Like, why do you care about their opinions? It's nothing. You yeah. know? Don't give these people, you know, your energy. Mm-hmm. Don't do it.
That's a big piece. And we pulling up on 40 minutes already. We can end with this. But, like, how do y'all go about protecting y'all own energy in terms of, like, you know, keeping your vibrations up, surrounding yourself with the right people, things like that?
I guess I'll take over for this one. Me personally, I'm one of those people, I really like what you just said, what y'all were just talking about. You just got to leave it all out there.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just who I am as a person. I'm just going to be loud out there. I don't be making jokes. Well, I do be making them make people laugh, but I won't be saying it unless I don't think it's funny.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, so if I make myself laugh inside, if I'm already feeling good about what I'm thinking, I'm going to let that be seen outside. Even if some people are like, nah, nigga, that shit was trash. I'm like, shit, you might be right. I thought it was good, though, so that's all that matters. No cap.
Still said it.
Just got to spit. Still said it.
You wasn't gonna go out there and say it.
Double down, bruh. You got to double down.
But that's just how I be going about it. It's just like, I know what I'm doing. I'm here for a reason. I did my stuff for a reason. So there's no need to get worried. That's actually pretty recently I have been kind of worried, but I got to remember it's like, I'm here for a reason. I ain't here to get everything figured out all at once.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like I'm in a rush, but I'm like, there's no point in being in a rush. You're already in a great position that 99% of people wish they could be in. So it's
man.
No, there's no point rushing. Just Hakuna Matata or whatever that pig and Meerkat said. I don't know. That's just what I got to do. But that's just me, though.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like for me, that's a good question. For me, man, I just put my stuff out there. I put myself out there, and then just like, again, I try not to, like, for me, it's a little bit easier. Like, I'm a former athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I had to hear so many things, like, whether if it's ratings, like, whether if it's, like, hearing stuff from college coaches, like, as you're in high school, like,
mm-hmm.
even with your high school coaches, like, sometimes you just got in one ear, out the other, you know, and just keep it pushing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's this song by Lupe Fiasco called Kick Push. And people may think he's talking about skateboarding, but he's talking about real life. Like, stuff is gonna get thrown your way. Like, you just gotta, you know, people are gonna, there's gonna be haters. Like, there are people saying, like, no, you can't skate here, you can't do that here. Just keep kicking, pushing. Kick, push, keep going.
That's
like, you know,
tough,
kick, push, coast.
Coast, yeah.
You know, that's tough, and like, that's a good visual. Like, I could see it now, because like, I be skating sometimes, so now that I see that, it's like, damn.
Oh, you on your Tony Hawk shit?
Yeah, I really want to learn how to skateboard. I'm just so scared of her.
Bro, I'm like, I'm so hell no.
I tried it one time when I was 12. I also stopped when I was 12. I fell off a bit too many times.
I had a little Tony Hawk game with the skateboard.
Oh, that's Skate 3?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, my God. I had Tony Hawk Pro Skater on the PS1, boy.
Yeah.
On the PS1. Boy, I was in there. Dog,
y'all ain't never played Tony Hawk Skate 2 on the Wii, though. You were trying to press Wii? A1 and 2.
That's crazy.
You had to press B, flip the nunchuck and shit. It was great.
That's crazy, bro. But, yeah, protecting energy or, like, you know, keeping your vibration safe. It's, for me, it's more so, like, using my intuition to, like, figure out who I want to be around and when I want to be around them. And I take situations and kind of put in place whatever situation happened. And sort of dissect people's character from that situation.
From that, literally.
And the situation don't even have to, like, directly involve me. It might be something totally, completely different. But the way somebody act out or react to it or however they acting during it, okay, that's your true character. And you always can see people's true character when they upset. So it's like,
yep.
All right.
Literally.
You don't got to cut them off, but you just got to
move accordingly.
Take a step back.
I can't do everything near you no more.
Man, and another thing was like, where did I read this at? I forgot where I read it at or heard it from, but it was basically saying that you ever had like an ex-girlfriend or some or somebody that you're not cool with no more, and then you just never run into them in person again?
I think I know. Yeah. I just saw something about that.
Yeah, and Yeah, like even back at home in Detroit.
Hey, you funny as
hell. That one time back in Detroit, we fell out. You know what I'm saying? Me and the girl fell out. And I just never saw her in person again. Never seen. I seen her at a function once. But after that function, I never seen her. I never seen her again. And Detroit not that big. Like, it's not like Los Angeles where I can go to Inglewood and chill and nobody ever find me. Like, the East and West is about 30 minutes from each other, dog. Yeah. And so everything and everything in between that, everybody know everybody. She knows so many people I know. I know so many people she know. So many of the people she know. And, I never seen her in person again.
Shit, just a sign for real, though. It's
just
a sign. It's like where you need to be. It's like certain people that you claim that you don't want to see no more, like, you won't.
Yeah.
Then you, like, those environments that person may be in, you're not going to put yourself in those environments.
Mm-mm.
And this is like, if you're in tune with yourself, in tune with what you want to do, what you do like,
mm-hmm.
that's what you're going to be around.
Yeah. And so we can wrap it up there. I'm pretty sure this building is closed by now.
They ain't know we here.
All right, hold on. One thing from everybody is I need a quote of the day from each one of you. I know I put everybody on the spot. I do this every episode, man. So
kick push.
No,
kick
okay, now he got it. Jermaine.
All right. This comes from one of my favorite movies, Speed Racer. Don't do it because it drives you. You do it because you're driven.
Damn, I like good. That one. That's tough. I like that one.
That's tough. I love that movie, man. But hey, thank y'all for coming on. Thank you to whoever listening.
Hold on, bro.
We got to
flip the script.
Oh, I'm flipping.
I need a quote, bro.
We need it.
Shit. Nobody ever told me to do it.
Urgency, man. Urgency.
Let's see. Everything happens for a reason. Mm. That's a big one.
That's a great one.
Everything happens for a reason. I know it seemed cliche and seemed like everybody said, but that's what I've been living through lately, bro. Everything happens for a reason. Man. Whether you mad at the moment or not, it's still going to happen, man.
For a reason.
For sure.
You can't stop it. You just got to live.
Yep. So thank y'all for coming on. Thank y'all for listening. And
appreciate
it. Thank you for having us.
Bye-bye.
Peace.